Yes, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with pianist Simona Dinnerstein. Thank you so much for coming in. I know you are in the midst of a very busy summer.
Yes, it's nice to be almost at vacation.
And you're in Philadelphia to play a concert at the Academy of Vocal Arts for Philadelphia Young Pianist Academy tomorrow night.
Yes, it's playing the Goldberg Variations tomorrow night at 7:30.
Well, in addition to a very busy concert schedule, you've been recording over the last 11 years, almost an album a year, 11 albums in 11 years. And we spoke last about your collaboration with a Cuban orchestra, Mozart in Havana, and your latest album is Circles, concertos by Philip Glass and Bach.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what drew you to Philip Glass?
I've loved his music since I was a young tween. I started playing his music maybe about 3 years ago. I constructed a recital program juxtaposing the music of Glass and Schubert. And that was my beginning of becoming sort of more intimately acquainted with his music by playing it. And around the same time, I actually met Philip Glass and wound up having breakfast with him at his home. And during the course of that breakfast, talked about the possibility of him composing something for me. And that led to a commission for him to compose a piano concerto for me for piano and string orchestra, which I asked if he would compose to pair with a Bach keyboard concerto. And so that premiere happened last September, and we shortly after that recorded it. And it was a co-commission with 12 orchestras, so I've been traveling and playing with all the different orchestras.
That is so interesting. And the orchestra on the recording is called A Far Cry, which is a chamber orchestra?
A Far Cry, yes. It's a string orchestra, conductorless string orchestra based in Boston. And they're really fabulous. I've performed with them quite a bit now. And they're a very collaborative, sort of democratic organization, and just a real joy to play with them, and it was great to record with them as well.
And so I imagine if you're now touring, you're playing this piece with all of the orchestras, all of the 12
yes.
that co-commissioned it.
And more, actually.
And more. Yeah. It must be very different each time.
It's very different, and it's quite interesting. It's different if I'm playing with a conductor or not, and the size of the orchestra varies. And every orchestra has its own personality and brings out something different in the music. So it's quite an interesting experience to be traveling around with this piece and hearing it in many different ways.
Well, we can't hear the concerto here because there is no orchestra.
Yeah.
But we can hear some music by Glass
yes.
and Bach and Schubert. So uh-huh. what are we about to hear now?
So I thought I would start with a pairing of Glass's Etude number 6 with Schubert's Impromptu number 2 in E flat opus 90. These are, in my recital program, I kind of create suites going back and forth between the Glass and the Schubert without pause, playing from one to the other. And this is a little group within that.
How do they fit together? Glass and Schubert?
Well, when I first came up with the idea of the program, it was because I had been listening to some Glass, and I thought, wow, it sounds so Schubertian, and I was so struck by it. It was something about the use of harmony, of the way that Schubert will have these patterns that repeat and repeat, but one note within a harmony will change. And everything changes from that one note. And Glass does exactly the same thing. And so I decided to put together this program where I could really hear it between the two composers. And I wound up going and playing it for Philip Glass. And he was really struck by how much Schubert had influenced him. And he said he hadn't even thought about it so much before, but his father owned a record store and listened to a lot of music, and he said that his father's favorite composer was Schubert, and he used to play a lot of recordings of Schubert at home. So I'm sure that it sort of seeped into his musical language without him even realizing it.
That's great. Yeah. So what you're about to play goes right from the glass to the Schubert?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're in the WRTI Performance Studio. I'm Susan Lewis, here with Simona Dinnerstein, about to play Schubert and Glass, or Glass and Schubert.
Thank you.
was great. You can really see how those two pieces fit together. And I love your story about playing it for Philip Glass and having him say, I guess I was influenced by Schubert.
Yes, yeah.
It must be fun to work with a composer like that and have that give and take.
Yeah, I mean, I getting to spend some time with him has been really inspiring. He's a really, of course, he's an iconic figure in American music, but I never had really, I mean, I just read his book this past year. You know, he wrote a memoir called Words Without Music, I think it's called, and that was very interesting to read. His own reflections on his life, and I've spent time talking with him, and I've also seen him now give a public sort of lecture, and he's just a really inspiring, intelligent person who's had the most interesting life, and he really has, he created his own musical vocabulary, which we now take for granted because we hear it copied and, you know, it's influenced so many other composers, but he really created something completely new, and there aren't many people that can say that they've done that. It's quite remarkable, and everything about him is so interesting. You know, he wanted to have his music performed, you know, before he was really known, and so he created an ensemble that only played his music, you know. And then, you know, he decided he wanted to publish his music, so he created his own publishing company. And he wanted to record it, so he created his own record company. And, you know, it's just he's a real entrepreneur as well.
Well, it's interesting because that entrepreneurial spirit is in you as well, because your career really took off when you took the reins, what, in 2007?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, well, in a small way, not like him, but I definitely have realized that, you know, it's important to make things happen for yourself, you know, to try to understand what makes you tick and what is interesting to you, and nobody else is going to do it for you. You kind of have to do it yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I gather that taking those risks, forming his own company, or in your case, producing your first album of the Goldberg Variations.
Yeah.
Does that entrepreneurial spirit encourage you to take musical risks as well?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that I've always felt that there's something extremely sort of, we live in a very conservative world. The classical music world tends to be fairly conservative. There's a lot of emphasis on oral tradition. And I'm interested in looking at a piece of music, looking at a score, and trying to see what it says without thinking too much about how everybody else played it. Sometimes, of course, you hear somebody play something and it's extremely inspiring and insightful, but I don't feel like that's what I can rely on in terms of trying to understand the music that I'm playing. And so sometimes when I'm looking at a score and I'm studying it and I'm working on it, it winds up telling me something that is different than what I've heard. And that can be quite scary sometimes if I find that the music is taking me in a different direction and I realize that if I play it that way, it's going to be it's going to be different, it's going to be unusual, but I kind of feel like I'm compelled to do that. I have to follow what seems to be what the music is saying, and so I guess that's kind of how you have to take risks.
Right. Well, coming up, you're going to play another selection for us and pair Philip Glass with Bach.
Yes.
Now, Bach's very important to you, I gather, because he appears in and out of your 11 albums that you have.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself exploring new aspects of him all the time?
Yes, definitely. And I've had some interesting projects this past year that have been making me see his music differently. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I collaborated with the Paris Opera Ballet to do Jerome Robbins' choreography of the Goldberg Variations. And that was, I had never worked with dancers before, and that was very interesting because they invited me to perform it with them. So they presumably wanted me with the way that I play it. And yet Jerome Robbins had a very, very specific idea about the music, which required it to be played at certain tempi that were quite different than how I play it. And I had to learn how to play within these kinds of rigid constraints and yet to still make the music work. And I had to be able to be completely in sync with the dancers. So that was a very interesting take. And the way that dancers interpreted the music was rhythmically very different than how I had thought of the music. So that was an interesting experience. And then after that, I had this wonderful project with the choreographer Pam Tanowitz, where we together created a piece to the Goldberg Variations for piano and seven dancers. And that was quite different than playing it with the ballet, because this choreography was based on how I see the music, so that the tempi that I see and the phrasing that I feel. And I spent, like, I would say about 6 weeks with the dancers working, you know, working with her and the dancers and seeing what worked and what didn't work. And then we performed it quite a bit. And we're going to keep on performing it over the next couple of seasons. But that definitely made me feel the music in yet another way.
That's pretty exciting. Could you see the dancers when you were...
Absolutely, because I'm in the middle of the stage. So they're dancing all around me. Like, literally, my chair shakes.
Wow. And you're continuing to do those as well?
Yeah, we're doing some more of them. And it's exciting. It's hard. It's very hard because there's a lot of action taking place all around me. And also, there's a very interesting lighting design. So the lighting is constantly shifting. So all of those things are both exciting and distracting from playing the Goldberg Variations.
So now in Philadelphia this week, you're playing them tomorrow night.
Yeah, with no dancers.
With no dancers.
Yeah.
And right now, you're about to play one of them, preceded by Philip Glass,
yes,
Etude.
Yeah, so I'm going to play Glass's Etude number 2 and then the Variation number 28. From the Goldberg Variations.
Great. If you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with pianist Simona Dinnerstein, about to play Philip Glass and Bach.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. That was Simona Dinnerstein playing Philip Glass Etude No. 2 and Bach's Goldberg Variation No. 28. There's something so wonderful about hearing those two pieces together. It's kind of Philip Glass speaking to Bach across the centuries, interpreted by Simona Dinnerstein.
Yes. Actually, I played that. I had an event with him, with Philip Glass, last week, I think. At the Apple store, and I did that pairing, and he was like, oh, they really go well together. There's something about their construction, and in Bach's music and in Glass's music, you really hear the skeleton inside the music. You can just, it's all there. You see how it's made while you're listening to it.
Right, and after you finished, actually, I was thinking, I want to go back and listen to the Glass again and,
yes,
and compare and, uh-huh. And hear the similarities. But it's also this it puts you in an emotional state. Do you consider them almost one piece when you're putting them together and playing them?
Well, yeah, I think that those two have a similar kind of sensibility to them.
Right. Well, Simona Dinnerstein, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and it's a very busy schedule, to come to WRTI's Performance Studio. We've loved having you. And a reminder to listeners that you'll be playing at the Academy of Vocal Arts as part of PYPA's week-long festival.
Yes.
Tomorrow you'll be playing Goldberg Variations at 7:30.
Yes.
And congratulations on your new album, Goldberg, I mean... No.
Not Goldberg.
Not Glass. Goldberg. Glass Piano Concerto, written just for you, and Bach's...
The G minor
concerto. G minor concerto,
yeah,
right.
With a far cry. It's called
And it's
Circles.
A great... This album, you can't probably see it. It's a wonderful picture with Simona right in the middle of the stage and the musicians of A Far Cry around you.
Yes, I performed with them like that, so with my back to the audience, so the nose of the piano is going right into the middle of the orchestra, and they're surrounding me. It's a great way to play.
It's like the dancers, only the
yes,
musicians.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much for coming. Reminder to our listeners also, check out our website to see this and other live-to-air performances at wrti.org. Thank you so much, Simona Dinnerstein.
Thanks, Susan.